Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to Christian Biblical Church of God's Friday night online meeting. We hold this every week, and we get the opportunity to hear one of CBCG's elders on a message, and we get an opportunity to gather together with people around the world and enjoy this time together on a Sabbath evening. So we're going to hear from Tom Fannin. He's an elder in Cincinnati, and the title of his message tonight is Our Walk to the Kingdom Together. Tom Fannin.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another session of GoToMeeting. It's really good to be here with everyone, and believe it or not, it's been about 5 weeks since we kept the Passover. So time marches on, we know. And as we reflect back to the Passover, you know, we spent that time, as the scriptures tell us, as Christ introduced the new covenant Passover, remembering what Christ did for us. And we also took the time to remember our covenant and what we agreed to in that covenant. So just as the children of Israel, we know, left Egypt out of, you know, captivity or bondage, as they were delivered, we were also ourselves delivered, weren't we? As God's people, out of sin, out of what you could call spiritual Egypt or spiritual Babylon or this world, but we were rescued from this world. And as the children of Israel, all of us then are on our walk together, just like the children of Israel are on their walk to the promised land, you know, all of us in the church, the called out ones, are on our walk together to the kingdom. So have you ever thought of it that way? Now, our calling is an individual calling. We know that. But as the body, we all desire to help one another and enter into God's kingdom. And we know we do this together as the church. And Jesus Christ, we know, is our shepherd as the head of the church. Let's turn back to Peter and just read a scripture about who we are. In 1 Peter 2, and we'll start in verse 9, it says, "But you are a chosen stock, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for a possession of God, that you might proclaim his excellent virtues, who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And we know certainly God did call all of us out of darkness. And as it talks about there in Colossians, we were personally rescued from darkness, from the power of darkness, from God. So in verse 10, it says, "Who once were not a people, but now are the people of God." So, yes, at one time we were not the people of God, but through our calling, we became the people of God, who had not received mercy, but now have received mercy. So that's who we are. We're all of us, the church, we are the people of God, just as Israel were God's people, God's chosen people. The church, we are God's people. Now, all of us have this calling. We have things that are the same for all of us. But we all died to sin, didn't we? Let's go back to Romans, the 6th chapter, and read that. In Romans 6, and let's start in verse 6, it says, "Knowing this, that our old man was co-crucified with him, in order that the body of sin might be destroyed, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Because the one who has died to sin has been justified from sin. Now, if we did not die together with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more." And that's important for all of us to remember, that Christ dies no more. So all of us under covenant entered into this covenant of baptism into this watery grave where we symbolically died and were rescued from sin because our sins were forgiven after entering into that covenant. We know Christ cannot die for us anymore. So it's very important, all of us being on this walk together, we remember that this covenant we entered into, this agreement we entered into, we need to keep it. Because again, Christ died for us the one time as our personal Savior. It says, death no longer has any dominion over him, for when he died into sin once for all, but in that he lives unto God. In the same way also, you should indeed reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So yes, we know we're all dead to sin, and we're all dead to the penalty of sin, which would have been death. But we all died to sin, all of us. As we entered into the covenant, then we agreed to walk as Christ walked. Maybe some of you remember when you were baptized, some of the things that were asked of you. Because you were asked to agree to some things, weren't you? And one of them was, do you agree to walk as Christ walked? Do you agree to live by the word of God? Do you agree to love God and Jesus Christ with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength? Some of the things that we agreed to before we entered into the watery grave. Go back to 1 John 2. But we all agreed to walk as Jesus Christ walked. 1 John 2, verse 6 says, anyone who claims to dwell in him is obligated himself also to walk, even as he himself walked. So we know Christ lived by every word of God, and our job is also to learn God's word, as we are also required to live by every word of God. Now, another scripture we'll turn to that complements this scripture is back in John, the 6th chapter. So let's turn back there, John 6. And in John 6, we'll just read starting in 56 and 57, it says, here, the one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood is dwelling in me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so also the one who eats me shall live by me. So again, those of us who say we dwell in Christ, and we are obligated to walk as Christ walked, we live by Christ, by his flesh, by his blood. That's how we live. And we know this started for all of us after we entered into covenant and we started our covenant walk with each other. So we'll just touch on, we know that Jesus Christ, he leads us as the head of the church, as the head of the body. And Paul talks about that back in Ephesians 5. So let's go back to Ephesians 5. In Ephesians 5, verse 23, it says, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And of course, we know our personal Savior. For even as the church is subject to Christ, in the same way also let wives be subject to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your own wives in the same way that Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And we'll just mention here, well, that is a lot there that are required of husbands. When you consider what Christ has done for the church and for all of us, it's pretty plain here. This is a requirement for husbands with their wives. They're to love their wives in this manner also. Something for us husbands to consider. So that he may sanctify it, having cleansed it with the washing of water by the Word. And we know that we are continually washed, aren't we? As we have God's Spirit within us, working within us, and we're repenting and changing, as we read God's Word and we learn more, we're continually washed and cleaned. And why? Why do we need this? It goes on to say here, speaking of Christ, that he might present it to himself as the glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it might be holy and without blame. So this is, as we all walk towards the kingdom together, this is what we should be focused on, being this way, as a church, without spot or wrinkle. Down to verse 30, it says, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this reason shall man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I am speaking in respect to Christ and the church. So that's how we are with Christ. We are to be at one with him. As we eat of his flesh, drink of his blood, eat of the bread of life, take it in. We are to be at one flesh with God, the church. Again, as we walk together towards the kingdom. So then the church, we'll just talk more about the church now. Because we know that, again, Jesus Christ, he's our elder brother. He's our Savior. He's the head of the church. He's the one we look to and follow as the example. But the church itself, the called out ones, all of us who are personally rescued, how is our walk going together, those of us in the church? Something to consider. How are we doing with each other? Are we being watched? Do God and Jesus Christ continually look upon us to see what we're doing, what our attitudes are, and are we being judged then by these things? And I say, and I think all of us would say it, definitely yes, we are being watched and we are being judged. Now John tells us, and we'll go back to 1 John, the first chapter, we are to be walking in the light, all of us. Let's go back to 1 John, the first chapter. And then I want to start there in 1 John 1, in verse 4. It says, these things we are writing to you that your joy may be completely full. And this is the message that we have heard from him and are declaring to you, that God is light and there is no darkness at all in him. You know, something for us to consider, there is no darkness in God and Jesus Christ at all. And aren't all of us looking forward to that day when we're changed? And these bodies we have and this nature we have is going to be changed. And someday it'll be said of us that there is no darkness at all in us. We all look forward to that day, don't we? But we know right now, that's not the case. We still fight this carnal nature, don't we? But there's no darkness in God and Jesus Christ at all. It says, if we proclaim that we have fellowship with him, but we are walking in darkness, we are lying to ourselves and we are not practicing the truth. However, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his own son, cleanses us from all sin. So is that how we're all walking together? In the light. In the truth. Because that's what we should be doing, all of us, brethren. We have to be on guard at that. That we're in the truth. No, in what we see today, and this is a common theme sometimes within some of the churches of God, that they want to meet each other on things they have in common and then overlook things in one another that aren't correct and be accepting of that. That's not right, is it? That's darkness. That's not fellowshipping in the light as we're supposed to do. That's what the world does. But in the church, in our walk, it shouldn't be that way. But yeah, we see that. Or at times, in some of the churches of God, they allow this. Let's go back to 2 Corinthians 6 and see what Paul says about this and how he explains some of this. Because is that how we should fellowship with one another? Where we agree on certain things, but the other things we don't agree on that are in God's word, where God tells us to do things, we accept each other for how we are? Go back to 2 Corinthians 6. Again, we're talking about our walk together to the kingdom and how it should be. 2 Corinthians 6. In verse 14, Paul writes here to the Corinthians, "Don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and lawlessness have in common? And what fellowship does light have with darkness?" Well, John just wrote about that, didn't he? Our fellowship has to be in the light. But what fellowship is there with light and darkness? And what union does Christ have with Belial? Or what does a believer have with an unbeliever? And what agreement is there between a temple of God and idols? For you are the temple of the living God, exactly as God said, "I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Just as Peter said, we are the people of God. So we should have love for one another as God's people. And certainly a love for the truth, all of us, as we walk together. Well, Christ set the example. Since we've already covered this back in the Passover season, we'll just quickly look at it again in John 13. So turn with me to John, the 13th chapter. So on that night of the Passover, we know Jesus Christ washed the disciples' feet. In John 13:12, it says, "Therefore, when he had washed their feet and had taken his garments and had sat down again, he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done to you?'" Something that can be asked of us during the Passover season that we should think about, that we know what's been done to us, for us. "You call me the teacher and the Lord, and you speak rightly because I am. Therefore, if I, the Lord and the teacher, have washed your feet, you are also duty bound to wash one another's feet. I have given you an example to show that you also should do exactly as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I tell you, a servant is not greater than his Lord, nor a messenger greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So in the church, if we have this attitude towards one another, and we are blessed as God's people to serve one another and to have love for one another. And that's why on that very night, Christ emphasized that more over in verse 30, where he says here, verse 34, he says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another in the same way that I have loved you. And this is how you are to love one another. And by this, everyone know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Our walk together, that's how it should be. We should have love for one another. And do people see this in us? If we were to get together as a group of God's people, no matter what church of God you say you affiliate yourself with, but if we were all to get together, let's say at a feast site somewhere, could someone who doesn't know any of us come in and visit and walk through us and say, these people have love for one another? They're one people. Truly, this is a people of God. I don't see differences here. I don't see some who say they're of Apollo, or some of they say they're of Paul, or of just this church or that church. I see a group of people that follow Jesus Christ and have love for one another. Well, hopefully that's what anyone would say of us, all of us, the people of God, if they saw us together. But unfortunately, in some cases, it's not that way, is it? Well, we have the same calling. Let's go back to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. And I want to start in verse 1. It says, therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, am exhorting you to walk worthily of the calling to which you were called. So, yes, we were called out of, you can say, the bondage of sin, but here Paul says, now we are prisoners of the Lord. And that's where we want to be, don't we? It says then, with all humility and meekness, with long suffering and forbearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are also called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God of all, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in you all. So again, to the people of God, it looks like we have a lot of things that are the same for all of us, regardless of who we are in the church, as God has placed us. Now, a lot of the churches, God may refute this. I don't know how they do that. But they may say, well, we're the only ones, or we have the truth, or things were passed on to us, or we're the only ones doing the work. Well, I don't know how some of the churches can do this to God's people, but they do that. And really, when you think about it, what's happening there is they're leading people back into what God and Jesus Christ delivered us from, aren't they? Because that's not the freedom that we have. And we'll read a little bit about that later. The freedom that we do have and that we should use in a proper manner. Now, sometimes in the church, we find ourselves not on the same page. So have you ever heard that saying, well, we're in the same book, but we're not on the same page? And sometimes we see that happen with the brethren in the church. We're just not on the same page. And a lot of times the biggest answer for that is it's just where somebody is, possibly spiritually, in their understanding and growth and development. Well, you know, I was thinking about this as far as, you know, we're not in the we're not on the same page, but we have to be in the same books, don't we, as God's people? And there's a couple books we're going to talk about here that we have to be in. And the first one is the book of life, right? We all have to be in the book of life. Let's go back to Daniel 12. Let's read a couple scriptures in Daniel 12. And I'm going to read verse 1 of in Daniel 12. And it says that at that time, Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands for the children of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even until that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered. Everyone who shall be found written in the book of life, that our names are written in at baptism. As Christ talked about, our names are written in heaven. It's his book. It's the Lamb's book of life. So while we're here in Daniel 12, let's just go ahead and read verses 9 and 10. It says, and he said, go your way, Daniel, and for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, and refined, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And I just make note of that because the church, those of us who are in the church, we should be the wise ones. And we do have understanding because of this calling we have in God's Spirit that dwells within us. But we are the wise, the ones who are in the church. Let's go back to Philippians 4. And Philippians 4. And we'll see what Paul writes here. Philippians 4, verse 1. It says, therefore, my brethren, beloved and longed for, my joy and my crown, stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I exhort Euodia and I exhort Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. So here's Paul admonishing a couple people, some of the brethren, to be of the same mind. And I ask you, my true yoke fellow, to assist these women who labored with me in the gospel and with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. And that's who we are, aren't we? We're, as Paul talked about, fellow workers with one another, working towards the kingdom. And we know we're God's workmanship as God works with us. Let's go back to Revelation now. Just want to read a couple more scriptures regarding the book of life because it is important to remember this is a book we, all of us in the church, no matter where we are, we have to be in the book of life. Revelation 13, verse 6. And it says, and he opened his mouth to blaspheme, and we're talking about the beast here. He opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and those who dwell in heaven. And you might as well say, blaspheme us too, because God's name is in us and our names are written there in heaven. So blasphemy against God's people also. And he has given power, and he was given power to make war against the saints and to overcome them. And he was given authority over every tribe and language and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Now make note of this. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb. Slain from the foundation of the world. You know, that's why we need to be really mindful of each other, all the brethren, all the called out ones, all the ones who are under covenant who have their names written in the book of life. Because we need each other as God's people. And this day's coming. As we read back there in Daniel, the wise shall understand. And don't we have more understanding now than we've ever had? Especially in recent times, what we see is going on in this world. I think the answer is yes, we do have more understanding. So we should hope then that everyone who God calls, chooses to call, answers that call and repents. So their names can also be written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Because as it says here, all on the earth worship the beast whose names are not written in the Book of Life. All do. While we're here in Revelation, let's just conclude and by reading Revelation 20. Revelation 20. In verse 4, it says, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded, the testimony of Jesus, and for the word of God. And those who did not worship the beast, or his image, and did not receive the mark in their foreheads, or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. So that's talking about us. And yeah, at some point there will be those who will have to stand up for the truth in the church. That time's coming. We don't know how far off that is, but that time is coming. It says, but the rest of the dead did not live again until the 1,000 years were completed. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is the one who has part in the first resurrection. Over these, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And that's what, again, we're being called now to be a part of. So, you know, we know the righteous, we die one time. Just one death. And then we'll be raised to be spirit and live into eternity. We die once, but there are another group of people we know that die twice. But the righteous die once. Let's go down and just finish while we're here in verse 12. It says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. So apparently there's books or recordings of the lives of people and what they did during their lives. Did they do good things, or did they do things that were against God? That's recorded. And another book was opened, which is the Book of Life, the one we're talking about here that we are in. And the dead were judged out of the things written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and the grave gave up the dead that were in them. And they were judged individually according to their works. And death and the grave were cast into the lake of fire. And this is the second death. If anyone was not found written in the book of life, he was cast into the lake of fire. So I don't know if you've ever considered that not or not with the book of life, but it continues on even after us, right? So there will be someone that's part of the first resurrection that will be the last, maybe what you would say, entry into the book of life. That'll be a part of this resurrection that'll reign with Christ 1,000 years. But then others are also in the book of life also that are part of the second resurrection. But anyway, our part is to be in the book of life for the first resurrection, and we're in it. We can have confidence in that. And our part's just to remain faithful to the end, right? That's our part in it. Well, we talked about one of the books we have to be in. You know, again, sometimes we can say, well, we're not on the same page, but we're in the same book. Well, the other book, other than the book of life, we all have to be in, and that is God's word. We all have to be in God's word. That is the truth. Let's go back to John 17. In verse 13, it says, now I am coming to you, and this is Christ's prayer to the Father before the crucifixion. I'm coming to you, and these things I am speaking while yet in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in them. I have given them your words, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not pray that you would take them out of the world, but that you would keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in your truth. Your word is the truth. And God's word that's been preserved for us, we know the truth, and we're sanctified by it. Set apart, holy, through the word of God. That's why we have to have a good understanding, all of us, of God's word. Because there's no darkness in it. And it helps us come towards the light. And we know the words of Christ, they are spirit and they are life, aren't they? So we all get this, the word of God. All of us who are called out. All those who belong to God. And God knows who are his, doesn't he? And Paul talks about that to Timothy. God knows who are his. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 10. We all partake of the word of God. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15. Paul says here, I speak as to those who are wise. Well, we, again, just read about that in Daniel, didn't we? The wise shall understand. So Paul's talking, he speaks to those who are wise. You judge what I say. The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not the fellowship of the blood of Christ? The bread that we break, is it not the fellowship of the body of Christ? For we being many are one body and one bread, because we are all partakers of the bread. So no matter where we are, we're all partakers of the same bread, Jesus Christ. We get the same food. So again, the churches of God that maybe act like we're all getting something different. Well, we shouldn't be. Shouldn't we? All the churches of God should be teaching from God's word. Because it sanctifies us. There shouldn't be any differences. Again, we all partake of it, the same food. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. Again, with the theme here, we're all on our walk together to the kingdom. And just as the Israelites ate manna, we have the same food also, don't we? 2 Timothy 2, we'll go back there. And this is a verse we remember to admonish us to be steady. So I'll tell just a quick story here. It was a good lesson, but there's social media out there, and a lot of the brethren on the Church of God get out there and make comments. And you know, within the Church of God, and we'll talk about that in a little bit, we have newer people. And sometimes it's easy for people who give messages, wherever organization that might be in one of the churches of God, to maybe say, well, this is a scripture we all know, or here's one we should all be familiar with. But this individual pointed out there on one of the social media sites for the churches of God that he said he wished that wasn't said so much, because this person was newer to the church. And he said there's a lot of people that don't know or are not familiar with, because they're learning. So it was good to hear that. So I think all of us that get a chance to give messages need to be mindful that maybe everybody listening in doesn't know or aren't familiar with a lot of the scriptures that maybe some of us have heard for years. But 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, Paul says here to Timothy, and Paul, you know, Paul was a great mentor for Timothy. To me, like a father to a son. And a lot of times he referred to Timothy like he was a son. He says here, diligently study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So again, all of us need to be in God's word. We need to be knowing God's word and rightly dividing all of God's people. And we can do it together. And I tell you, I really enjoy when I get a chance to talk to God's people about his word. Don't you? Don't you enjoy those conversations? Don't you enjoy the opportunity you have to get together with other people? And maybe some of you can't do it on a regular basis, but when you have that chance to get together with other brethren, don't you really enjoy talking about God's word and learning? And that's all we should be doing for each other. But we need to be in God's word. And I think everybody understands the point. We have, that's the book, God's word, the Bible, the Holy Bible. That's, we all need to be in God's word. But I wanted to talk a little bit about, as we walk together then, all of us to the kingdom, our conduct towards one another and what that should be. You know, we should be special to one another because this is a very precious calling we have as the children of God. Let's go back to Romans 14 and Romans 14. Now I want to read verse 1 of Romans 14. It says, receive the one who is weak in the faith, but not for divisive arguments. So, you know, in the churches of God, God's people, we are going to have at times those who are newer or weaker in the faith, but they're in the faith. That's the key. They're weak in the faith. But again, not for divisive arguments. So we have to be mindful of that because we don't need that in our walk together as divisiveness or strife or bitterness or anger or any type of those things among God's people. But we are to receive those who are weak and be mindful of that because you do have those in the church of God. So we won't read all of verse 14 here because Paul's talking about, you know, there are those in the, and there, and in the letter written to Romans, there were those that had different ideas or thoughts about meat, what they should eat, what maybe what day they should eat it on or not eat it on. You can read it. Some of the things sometimes people can get focused on, physical things that aren't salvational. But there are things we need to be paying attention to. And Paul goes on to talk about this in Romans 14, verse 17. He talks about what the kingdom is about, what we're walking to, all of us. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking. Rather, it is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that's what all of us really need to be putting our energy and effort into. God's Holy Spirit working in us, perfecting us. So we work towards righteousness and having peace and having joy within us. Because the one who serves Christ in these things is well pleasing to God and acceptable among men. It says, so then we should pursue the things of peace and the things that edify one another. And that should be our focus. Now, Paul continues this same thought in Romans 15, verse 1. He says, now we who are strong in the faith. So we might have some who are weaker in the faith. Now it's talking about we who are strong in the faith are obligated to support the ones who are weak and to not please ourselves. So yes, as we're all on our walk together, we need to be mindful of one another and help one another, serve one another, as Christ gave the example. Accordingly, let each one of us please his neighbor for good unto edification. For even Christ did not please himself. Rather, it is written, the reproaches of those who are approaching have fallen upon me. For all the things that were written before were written for our instruction. And I know that's talked about there, and we didn't read that in 1 Corinthians 10, but the things that Israel went through as they came out of Egypt and they were on their walk onto the promised land. And of course, we know they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. There's a lot of things that went on there with them that were also written for us to learn from in their walk together and apply to ourselves and as we walk together spiritually to the church. Again, it says, for all these things were written before, were written for our instruction, so that through patient endurance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. That's the key. Again, we talked about we all need to be in God's word. And we have encouragement and endurance through the scriptures and hope. And that's why we need to continue to present to one another is God's word, the scriptures. Now may the God of patience and encouragement grant you to be like-minded towards one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord and with one mouth you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is what we need to be doing. Hebrews 10, let's turn back there. So as we read Hebrews 10:22-25, I just want to make note of here of where it says, let us, referring to the people of God, let us. Verse 22, he says, let us approach God with a true heart, with full conviction of faith, our hearts having been purified from a wicked conscience, and our bodies having been washed with pure water. Let us hold fast without wavering to the hope that we profess. For he who promised is faithful. And let us be concerned about one another and be stirring up one another unto love and to good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, even as some are accustomed to do, but rather encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And is this our attitude, all of us, all the time towards one another? Stirring up one another, edifying one another, building up one another. As we see the day approaching. And what's the day approaching? Well, you could probably apply this to a lot of things, couldn't you? One might be the Sabbath, the holy days. Could apply to the Passover. It applied to the return of Jesus Christ, the day, that day that we look forward to. So there's a lot we can look forward to here that we need to encourage each other in and remind each other of and hold each other accountable to. And we're going to talk about that in just a little bit. We need to do these things for each other. As it says here, again, let us be doing these things. So earlier we talked about freedom. This freedom we have. We've been rescued, haven't we? Paul talks about that freedom, this freedom we have in Galatians 5. Let's turn back to Galatians 5. And I'm going to go down to verse 13 of Galatians 5. It says, "For you have been called unto freedom, brethren. Only do not use this freedom for an occasion of to the flesh, rather serve one another with love." So do we consider the freedom we've been called to? The freedom we have from sin, the freedom we have from this world, the freedom we have from darkness, the continued freedom we have. Every time, you know, we have an opportunity to study and learn and see things in ourselves that we need to repent of and change. Don't we have more freedom? Yes, we do. And we're to use that in a certain way. We don't use that freedom to glorify ourselves or puff ourselves up or for an occasion of the flesh. We use this freedom to serve one another in love as we walk together. Verse 14, it says, "For the whole law is fulfilled in this commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, watch out lest you be consumed by one another." We have to be really careful, don't we, all of us, that we don't bite and devour one another. But we use this understanding and this wisdom we have to, again, serve and love one another, help one another. But if we're not careful and we see this, we can use it to harm one another and hurt one another. And we don't want to be doing that on our walk together. Certainly not consume one another. Now I say this, walk by the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And again, that's how we are to walk, all of us, by the Spirit. Let's turn back now to Jude. So there's a lot written in Jude that about things we are to watch, be watching out for, and being careful not to be a part of. But we're going to Jude finishes off this book. He says, "But you, beloved, be building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, so that you keep yourselves in the love of God while you are personally awaiting," and that's all of us, "the mercy of our Lord Jesus unto eternal life." And that's, again, what's what we're all doing together, aren't we? So as we move on here in verse 22, the next two verses we're going to talk about, again, our conduct towards one another and what we should be doing for one another. Now it says, "On the one hand, show mercy to those individuals who are doubting." And do we see that in the church sometimes with the brethren, with each other? Do we see those who may be doubting? Do we see at times maybe those who are double-minded, somewhat maybe unstable? Well, yes, we do see that with one another from time to time. And we show mercy to each other when we see that. And we have the desire to help one another work some of these things out, don't we? But there's another part of this, too, that we need to be mindful of. In verse 23, but it says, "On the other hand, save others with fear, snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garment that has been defiled by the flesh." And sometimes we need to do that for one another too. And it takes someone who is spiritually mature and has a lot of understanding at times to be able to do this. but to snatch somebody out of the fire to save them. Because again, we don't want to see anybody's name blotted out of the book of life, do we? But at times, even in the churches, we find people doing things they shouldn't be doing that are salvational. That could lead to someone losing their reward. And we should be very concerned when we see this happen. And it means sometimes we may have to go to someone and with fear because of God's word and what God's word says and snatch them out of the fire as we're on this walk together. Particularly the elders and ministers in the churches should be doing this. When they have the opportunity to see that presented to them, it's part of what we all should be doing, though. And that's the relationship we should have with one another, shouldn't we? Where we have mercy for one another, love for one another, we're able to do this for each other. And at times, we have a right relationship where we can even go to our brothers and sisters and do this for one another. To pull them out of the fire. And you know, if we can do that for one another, and somebody can repent and change and see then what they were doing, what a wonderful thing we've done. And then hopefully that person that has come out of that situation, has repented, can look at the brother or sister that helped them and say, thank you. Thank you that you are a brother and sister in Christ and you saw me in this condition and you helped me. And on our walk, that's what we need to do for one another, brother, and we really do. Well, those are some of the things I just wanted to cover there with our conduct towards one another and how we should be. So we're going to have one final scripture. We can be turning back to Colossians, the third chapter. So as we've already covered, we're all in the body of Christ together, aren't we? And I guess you can say that we're stuck with each other, right? We're stuck with each other. And we know God calls he doesn't call the highborn, right? Or he doesn't call the great or the powerful or the elite. He calls the lowborn. He calls the poor. He calls people like us. And, but that's who we are, right? God's people on our walk to the kingdom together. We're all stuck with each other, right? And I know you remember the time where maybe you're back in school and they were maybe picking teams and you're like, oh no, I got stuck with so and so on my team. Or maybe it was me. They said, oh no, we got stuck with Tom on our team. But nonetheless, we're all on the same team together, aren't we? So it's very important that we be mindful of who we are, God's people. Colossians 3. In verse 1, it says, therefore, if you have been raised together with Christ, which we have, all of us, seek the things that are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your affection on the things that are above and not on the things that are on the earth. And brethren, if we all, as God's people, continue to do this, we are going to really help ourselves on this walk. We have our minds in the right place continually, all of us. For you have died. And your life has been hid together with Christ in God. Then on the verse 12, it says, put on then as the elect of God, holy and beloved, deep in our affections, kindness, humility, meekness, and longsuffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also should forgive. All of us is. Again, we're talking about we're all heading towards the kingdom together. all the things we should be doing here. And above all, put these things on love, which is the bond of perfection, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were called into one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and in spiritual songs, singing with grace in all your hearts. And we talked about that, how important it is that to God's word, we are all in God's word, right? And we're sharing that with one another continually. And it says, and then in everything, whatever you do in word or in deed, do all things in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So as we close here, these are good things for all of us to think about as God's people. And we don't know what's coming. But brethren, we need each other. We really do as God's children. And again, God's our Father, we know. Jesus Christ is our Savior. He's the head of the church, and we follow him. But we also, brethren, need to be mindful of one another in what we do for each other. So we'll go ahead and close there.